What's up, everybody? This is your boy Marcus Lewis, and this is the Ask a Jazz Dude episode 5, where Herman Mahari comes through. This is Herman Mahari, and for the probably two people out there in the world that don't know who you are, tell them a little bit about yourself.
What does that even mean? Come on, man. I'm a trumpet player. I'm a trumpet player. Originally from Jefferson City, Missouri. Spent about 10 plus years here in Kansas City, and now recently I'm based in Paris, although I'm coming back here.
Yeah, cool. So tell us a little bit. I'm always interested in people's story. So, like, said you're from Jefferson City. Yeah. Like, how did you get into music, and, like, what was your journey into deciding the moment where you were like, man, I want to play the trumpet and play jazz music or music as a career?
Yeah, you know, I didn't have any really, like music in my family. My parents are... They're from Eritrea, East Africa, you know, and so we didn't really like music, like having like music like that is not really a thing in a lot of like people like this coming over, immigrants like that. Yeah. You know, they're kind of pushing you to do like like being a scientist or a doctor or whatnot. But I fell in love. In seventh grade, I decided to join the band program, and I tried different instruments, and I did the trumpet, and I liked it. And a year into it, I found improvisation, jazz improvisation, like, mm-hmm. through a summer course, and that was when I like was like, okay, I'm gonna like do this seriously. I didn't know what, you know, it was gonna be a career. I'm not thinking about that at the time, you know, but I was like, I love this. This is really fun.
Right. So. Very cool. Yeah, guys, leave some comments. So we want this show to be very interactive. If you're watching the show right now, just leave some questions. Let us know if the sound is good, if the video is clear, if there's any lag. And even leave a comment where you're listening from. I'm sure some people might be tuning in from Paris right now. So just leave that in the comments. What's up, Ryan Jamal Davis, a.k.a. Kadesh Flow. Thanks for tuning in. Quinn Wallace is watching.
Yeah.
What's up? Also, Alex Annan and Sam Wiseman. Thank you guys for tuning in. So, yeah. So start leaving some comments so we know you're there. Anyways, so yeah, you talked about deciding to take music seriously. So who were some of your influences? You
know? Man, the first is crazy. The first, I was like, when I decided to do it, I said I need to have a really clear example of what this music is, you know? And I mean, I recommend that for anybody who's trying to get into it. It seemed logical to me, and it's the most logical thing to do. So I went to the local CD store.
Right.
I'm not sure, you know, if you're under my age, you might not know what that is.
Yeah.
But,
definitely showing our age. Yeah.
And I went, man, I kid you not, I went to the jazz section, and I went straight to Miles Davis, because that's a name I knew. That sounds familiar, Miles Davis. Yeah, it's a trumpet player I know about.
Right.
And I picked up a CD randomly. Out of all the CDs, I picked Kind of Blue.
Wow, what are the odds?
No one led me to it. I just picked it, yeah. And I listened to it like over and over and over and over again, you know? And that was like, so Miles Davis is definitely a big influence. I was buying a lot of Miles Davis records after that. And then I was a geek about him, and I was like reading about jazz history and stuff, and like I had like the complete Idiot's Guide to Jazz, and it had like a recommended discography to check out, and so I was different styles of jazz, and I was like buying like Count Basie, Charlie Parker, all this stuff, and I was just like I was totally geeking out about it, you know, all about it. So
nice.
Yeah. So influences, first Miles Davis for sure, and Bird are really early influences of mine for sure.
That's Okay, they were saying to turn up the mics a little bit.
Turn up. Trying to turn up.
So let us know if that's better. Yeah, that's right. Let us know if that's better, guys. We got a little bit more volume going. All right. So, Miles. So, yeah, Kind of Blue.
Yeah.
Best-selling jazz album of all time, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But I think another album was trending on iTunes the day it released. We'll get into that later.
Another Kind of Blue.
Yeah, Another Kind of Blue. Yeah, awesome. So, yeah. So, any questions, guys? Somebody says, Alex Landon says,
Alex, yo.
Is the man.
I'm going to see you in Paris in a couple of weeks, Alex.
Yeah. Alex Herman is definitely the man. All right. Yeah. So, start leaving some questions for Herman. I mean, if you're a musician or anybody, you should have a ton of questions for someone who has achieved the level of success that Herman has. Okay. Thanks. Yeah, put those in the comments there. Hello, Herman. Hey, Karen Bauer.
Karen, she says, salut.
She says, I love your blue album.
Merci beaucoup.
Oh, she's from Paris?
She's French, but she lives here, actually.
Oh, cool. Yeah. All right. So, is that better on the volume, guys? Anyways, I feel like it's, like, really loud in our ears.
Yeah, you can turn us down.
Yeah. All right. So Miles. So talk about Miles and like Kind of Blue, and I'm sure you started transcribing immediately, but like what effect has he had on your playing?
Miles, you know, like is very, very melodic, and I always loved his sound, you know. So sound is so important to me from the get-go, and I really tried to get his melodicism, you know. He resonated with me. And then, you know, eventually it was like Bird and Train and these guys. But yeah, I was doing a bit of transcription. A lot of my early transcriptions were Miles Davis for sure. You know, it's also a little bit easier to transcribe, but there's some nuance in there that's a little bit, you know, a little bit, you know. So, yeah, definitely in terms of that tangible stuff, you know.
Obviously. Right. Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I have a trombone student. He's in eighth grade, and he's transcribing solo from Freddy Freeloader because we're talking about blues.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, he's, like, got all the notes, and I was like, man, like, you really have to focus on the other stuff because that's even more important than the notes, is the inflection, you know, and that's what made Miles so great. Like, you know, the way he put it together, his whole presentation, it just was really special.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so let's see. We don't have any questions yet. Man.
That's cool.
We
don't need them.
Yeah, I can ask you tons of stuff.
Let's go.
Let's go. So let's talk about your time at UMKC. So why you decided to go there, and you can talk a little bit about Bobby and your relationship with him, and then getting to record with him, which is amazing.
Sure. Yeah, so UMKC, you know, so I was in Jeff City, and then I was trying to decide where to go to school, and I was considering Eastman and Berkeley, and I got some scholarship offers, and then I also considered UMKC because Bobby Watson was there, and I auditioned, and he called me up and said, hey, I want you to come to UMKC. And as he called me, I was like, on my nightstand is an Art Blakey album, you know. It was the Monin album, that the live one that had Marsalis and Bobby Watson on it. I'm like,
yeah.
All right, I'm coming. Yeah, so that was a great decision on my part. Coming to UMKC was a great thing, obviously, to be in KC, but you know, having a relationship with Bobby Watson was really great, because it was the true mentorship, you know, like what I feel is really important in this music is that the way of teaching should be the mentorship, you know.
Right.
School and academia is whatever, like, it serves a purpose, but if you're playing like jazz music, then like you can't do that. You need the mentorship. It needs to come from the tree, and it needs to, you know, from Bobby's, from coming from Art Blakey, he's coming from, you know, he's part of the tree, you know.
Right.
I feel like they learn the way they learn is the way that he's teaching, you know, and it's that's it's real. It's just more real. So it was amazing to be able to study with him, and he's become like a father figure, a friend, a mentor, and like you said, yeah, a colleague in certain ways, because he had me on his record and on a couple of the records, and we're playing this week.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's amazing.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, I just want to pause for a second. We do have a couple of questions coming in. Man.
You're allergic to me.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely not allergic to you.
Allergic to France, man.
I love France. So, hey guys, just take a second to like the post, the feed if you haven't already. You can just hit that like button like that, like it, and share it. Because the way Facebook works, this is just because I'm the host of the show. Yeah, yeah. just because I'm the host of the show, this is actually your show. So it's a community. We're trying to build a community here. So, you know, if you want your voice to be heard out there and build a community with something positive, people trying to work together, then the way Facebook works, if you like and share things more, the more people see it. So we appreciate it if you do that. Yeah. So let's get into a question here.
That's one thing I will say. It's important to understand the Facebook algorithms.
Yeah.
That's not what I'm here to talk about. But if you're using Facebook or social media as a outlet for promotion, it's really important to understand the algorithms, because they're constantly changing. And you know, if the point is to get your message across and get to post, you know, like you want someone to know about whatever this is, a show or a CD or a video, you should understand algorithms. You know, it's just part of what we have to know as musicians in this day and age.
Definitely. So here's our first question from Quinn Wallace. Could you speak on the European view on jazz?
Not really, man. I'm not European. Could you be more specific?
Yeah, there's like, I think there's like a 5-second delay.
A little delay.
Yeah, so Quinn, yeah, let us know.
Yeah, I would like I would really want to have a more specific question, if you could. And also, Europe is a continent, so just, I want to know what you want to know, or what I can answer, if that makes more sense.
Yeah, so we'll wait on that, Quinn. Bill, this is from Bill Sundahl. Do people around the world view KC as a great music town?
Bill, that's a good question. You know, unfortunately, a lot of people don't know Kansas City exists. It sounds bad to say. I can't tell you how many times people ask me where I'm from, and I say Kansas City, and the response is Kansas? Because they know about Kansas more because of, like, Dorothy.
Dorothy, yeah.
I mean, really, that's what it is. I'm sure you've experienced this too.
Yeah.
And you say, so these people, it's really interesting, but I always use the opportunity to educate. And I say, no, actually, it's Kansas City. It's right in the center of the United States, right in the center, and that's always easy for people to grasp. And I tell them that it's like a very strong musical hub, and it has always been. And it's definitely, you know, like, in terms of what jazz is concerned, it's a pillar of jazz. It's New Orleans. You have New Orleans. You have Chicago. You have Kansas City, and you have New York. And Kansas City is just as important as any of those. And right now, as a local scene, it has some strengths that these places don't have. But obviously, I'm not. It's in beyond just jazz. You know, we have other great things going on here too. And so, I always try to tell people, I always try to represent KC and let people know and educate. But unfortunately, like, yeah, it's an uphill battle. It's not like, you know, because everyone, and the other aspect is when people come to the States, they always go to New York. And if they don't go to New York, they're going to maybe LA. And, but I'm trying to change that, you know.
Yeah.
We've had some pretty good KC representation more recently, even, in Paris, at least, the past year or so. And we'll continue to have that.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, Bobby Watson just showed up, so.
Oh, my gosh. The man himself.
The Bobby? Man, I would love to have, I haven't talked to you about this yet, but I would love to have you on here and just talk to you for many, many hours. I'm sure you have some like really great stories. And
he's got better stuff to do, man.
I know. That's what I said. I would love to have him. What up, Eddie Moore? Eddie Moore in the Outer Circle. We the people. Eddie's a great piano player from Houston, and he lives here now, so check him out.
And he was on the show.
Yeah, he was the first guest
You
know, that I had on the show, which is a really great show. And we talked about touring as a jazz musician.
Really great stuff.
Yeah.
Really great, awesome stuff.
Cool. Yep. So I'm just going to keep reminding you, we're growing a little bit in numbers, so let's keep liking, let's keep sharing, and I think now would be a good time to listen to some, what up, Kemet? to listen to a track from your album.
Yeah, before that, did Quinn ever get back?
Yeah, Quinn, where are you, man?
About his question? Oh, Bobby. Yeah.
Bobby said he'll be there.
Yeah.
All right, it's documented, Bobby. He said he's going to be there.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm going to hold you to that, man.
Oh, no, he's here.
Yeah, Bobby just didn't show up. Man, we did a show at the Blue Room in December with my big band, and Bobby played some tunes.
Oh, man, awesome.
With Bobby and Lisa Henry, and then we did the Brass and Bougie thing, and man, it was one of the best shows ever. It's packed. It was just good for Kansas City jazz scene. So many people from different walks of life, too. It's like very, like, you know, interesting.
Amazing.
Oh, Quinn is saying, what's up? So we talked about your question. Did you take a nap there in the middle? We talked about your question. You said, what was the European view on jazz? And so Herman wanted you to be a little more specific. So if you could just comment that. And we'll address that.
Yeah, just be more specific, because if you say European view, well, first of all, I'm not European. And I can't speak for all of Europe. I haven't been to all of Europe. And I just want to know more what you want to know about that question.
What's up? Also, Angela Walsh Fisher, who is Quinn's mom.
Yep.
So she's watching. What's up, Zach Evans? Sam is like, are there any video questions? Yeah, we're going to get to those. Yeah, so, yeah, Quinn, go ahead and post what you're talking about. He's like, yeah, I feel. All right. So a little bit more detail there.
Yeah.
So we'll give him time to do that. Maybe we can get to that question in a minute. I want to play a track from your album, so talk about Blue a little bit, about your concept of the album. The track that we're going to play is Awakening, which is one of my favorite tracks.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Blue was great.
It was great.
I was putting it together. It was really great for me. It was really important to have an album for me that was on my name, you know. I have a group called Diverse, and we do stuff.
I totally skipped over that.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's fine. I'm telling you right now.
Yeah.
but yeah, it's really important, you know, for me. I was already doing things in my career, and it was almost past due. So it was great. I had actually help from a good friend of mine, Daniel Edwards, and he's got this thing called Jazz LP, which is he's trying to really build like a sustainable community for the East Side, and make it more artistic. And so he got some funding and helped me put this project together.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to do, like, you know, he wants, like, people to grow up in the neighborhood who are going to be artistic and play music. And, like, makes it
that's,
make, yeah.
That's incredible.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, so in terms of the music itself, I just wanted to get some of my favorite musicians together, basically. And,
yeah, man, and that lineup, the band is so incredible, man.
Oh, yeah. I feel really strongly about it, and
yeah.
It's a mix of guys, a couple guys that I haven't played with too much, but they're some of my favorite musicians, and then guys that I have a really strong connection to, like Peter Schlamm and Ryan J. Lee. With Logan Richardson, who's a Kansas City guy.
The GOAT.
On alto, Aaron Parks on piano, Peter Schlamm, Rick Rosado on bass, who's a great friend of mine, lives in New York, and Ryan on drums. So, Blue.
Yeah. So this track we're going to play is called Awakening. So tell us a little bit about your process and how you were inspired to compose the song.
Yeah, okay. I You know, I composed. I remember where I wrote. I was actually. I was teaching for a couple years doing the Kansas, like all-star jazz band,
right.
And would run these rehearsals and then spend time at the piano afterwards, just writing. And I wrote the basic concept for this song out. And I could just hear it. I knew I wanted to start out a certain way, and I knew I wanted it to end up in a kind of a breakbeat situation, like
right.
it does. And this is one of those songs that kind of morphed over a couple of years, and then finally it had the song finished the way I wanted it. And it was fun because we added a couple of things in post,
right.
A little production stuff. You know, with my album, I wanted one thing I wanted was variety in terms of, like, the way the songs are laid out, so I didn't want to just, like, everyone taking solos, you know? I wanted, like, some things to be, like, trading or whatever. And this is an example of the whole band trades.
Yeah, I like that concept.
Which is, yeah. Awakening.
Awakening. There we go. Hey, guys, leave some comments what you think about the composition and solos, and I'm sure they'll all be great. So here's Herman Mahari's Awakening from his album, Blue. Thank you. Yeah, all right. So that was Herman Mahari's Awakening from his album Blue. And we'll leave a link of how you can get that from iTunes a little bit later in the show. All right. So Chris Hazleton asks, is the album out on vinyl yet?
That's a good question. I've been asked that a few times, and it's not. But it's still a plan of mine. I really like to do that. So still figuring that out. But yes, it will be on vinyl at some point.
Okay, cool. So I will get into Quinn says he's thinking about his question, so we'll give him some more time to think.
Sure thing.
So yeah, let's get into a video question. And this question is from a UMKC student, Lyle Simpson. 1 billion ghost notes. Kevin says that. Alright. So this is Lyle's question for Herman Mahari.
Hi Herman, big fan of your music. My question for you is, how does location affect your musical ideas? For example, living in Kansas City or living in Paris? And how can younger students that don't have access to a large city learn about jazz? Thanks.
All right. The last question, the young students learning about jazz, don't live in a big city learning about jazz. You know, it's interesting, like, you know, I came from Jeff City first, and then I have other great friends who are from the middle of, like, nowhere in Missouri, and small towns everywhere, and, I mean, now in 2018, it's so easy to have access, but, you know, man, at the end of the day, the music itself has... If you know how to listen, the music itself teaches you everything you need to know. You know, that sounds like a cop out, but it's not. It's that's how everyone has learned it. And now we have more access to the music than anyone has ever had ever. We have the catalog of everything, you know.
Yeah. True.
So it's really about how you listen, you know? Like makes it's and just listening really well. And if you want to learn some theory, that's online too. I can't point you to direct things cuz I don't know them, but you know, if you want to know what a major chord is, you can Google that, and there's going to be, you know, 5,000 results that tell you what a major chord is, and some of those are going to make, one of those is going to make sense to you, you know? So we have so many resources, free resources, even, like, you don't have to pay for it. But if you do want to pay, you can take a lesson with me, you know?
That's right. Even on Skype, too, you know?
Yeah, so. Even Skype. But you know what I'm saying? That's not necessary. It's, actually, that's bad business. It is necessary. You should take lessons with me.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm joking. The first question was again was what it was about.
And he said
how living in different cities can inspire them.
Affects your musical ideas.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, before even living in Paris, I was going there a lot and spending time there a lot, touring and even taking the time to write music while I was there. And one thing I could say about Paris is it's such a beautiful city, and it's a really, really inspiring city. And just taking walks in the city was inspiring. Like, I had recently a composition that was commissioned by the Nelson I did. And when I was kind of stuck, I literally took the piece of work, the art, and walked around the Père Lachaise Cemetery, just walking, and just, you know, mind empty, and just like letting. And I just all of a sudden started to come up with ideas, and would start singing them and recording them, you know. And just like, you know, and in Paris, that's what's cool about the place is it's even when you're not trying to write something too, you're just it's inspiring. The energy is really inspiring, and it's beautiful. So, yeah, I can't say anything more specific. I can't say it's making me write this kind of thing or that kind of thing.
Right.
It's inspiring.
Yeah, definitely. Cool. All right. So, yeah, it's all about how you listen. So, same wise. Listening, you know, like, yeah, there's so much music, you know.
Yeah, you have
YouTube, there's Apple Music.
I mean, if you listen to Charlie Parker, you have 100% clear idea of what the music should sound like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and it's just a matter of how you listen to it, you know?
Yeah, well, being from Kansas, I mean Kansas City, Jefferson City, but Kansas City.
Yeah.
How, speaking of Charlie Parker, like, what does he mean to you? And just being here in the city, you know, that he was born and raised in.
Oh, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, Bird is the greatest. I could, only other person I would put up at that level is John Coltrane.
Right. Yeah.
And he's someone who just, he 100% brought it every time. 100%. Always just, and it's great. I mean, his legacy is cemented. It's here, and you know, the scene, I feel like that's part of why the Kansas City scene is so strong, is like, it's had generations of musicians that have just kept the music going and going and going and going.
Right.
I was talking to a friend about this the other day. I had this kind of weird realization. I was like, man, what are the strongest jazz scenes right now? Like, what are they? Well, okay, New Orleans, New York, sure. Chicago's got a good scene. LA's got a pretty decent scene. And Kansas City. And I'm not saying other cities don't have great players, mm-hmm. but in terms of a scene where there's like lots of music happening, jazz music specifically,
mm-hmm.
on many nights, and there's guys making a living doing it, and there's guys like who know the music and know standards and are doing creative stuff, like, right. You have only a certain amount of cities. Like, that's five I just named, you know? Yeah. And even then, I know, like, even in LA, for instance, like, there's the amount of guys who are just playing jazz is like, minuscule.
Yeah.
And probably the same in Chicago, too, I imagine. But I could be wrong. I've been in Chicago a lot, but it's just, like, in terms of what's happening locally there, it's kind of hard to kind of put, you know?
Right.
But in terms of guys who are just strictly, like guys like Peter Schlamm, this guy's playing, like, seven nights a week.
Yeah.
And sometimes more than one gig.
Multiple gigs, yeah.
Yeah, like, and I come into town, I have a few things booked already, and then invariably, anytime I'm here, like, I pick up a few more things. Even though I'm here for a very short time, it just comes my way. And I'm not saying it's the same for everybody, I'm just saying that the scene is strong, and there's music every night, and you can find great music most nights. And what's the thread about between these cities? They're also the cities that started the music.
Yeah.
They are the exact same cities that started the music. And part of the reason must be a testification to, like, the generations of musicians have kept the music going alive in these cities. That's my thought, at least. Yeah.
Yeah, guys, don't forget to like and share the post. What's up to Peter Schlamm? Speaking of Peter.
Peter.
Speaking of bringing it every time. Hey, Molly Hammer.
Got a question. Bobby.
Bobby, Kansas City Symphony?
I don't know what you're talking about, Bobby. We have a gig or something?
Bobby, elaborate. what up to Stephen Martin? Speaking of bringing it every time. Hey, Bill Brownlee is watching. Bill McKimmy is watching. What's up, Bill? Joshua Blythe is watching. Yeah, thank you guys. Just go ahead and like the feed. Like us.
Bobby asked Kansas City Symphony, and I'm doing a performance with Bobby. He's being featured with the Kansas City Symphony this Friday, Saturday, and then the Sunday matinee show.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. Awesome.
And Deborah Brown is also part of that, and David Bassey.
Great.
So it's I've been looking forward to it for a while. It's gonna be really fun.
That's killing. What up, Clint? I didn't know you were watching, man.
Clint
Ashlock, if anybody is watching from the KKFI page, I want to just take a moment to thank them. This is the first show where we have partnered together, where the Ask a Jazz Dude show will be on the Ask a Jazz Dude show page, but it will also be streamed on KKFI's Facebook page, and it will be archived there. So if you can't make the show, so just thanks to Bill Sundahl and Sam Wiseman for making this partnership work, and hopefully we can grow a community. So thanks to those guys up there, KKFI. Clint says, I like you, Marcus. Good, Clint. Yeah, like you too, man. Clint Ashlock's a great trumpeter, great arranger, great musician. So good to see you on here. Oh, what's up, Jen Weismeyer? She's part of Kansas City Jazz Ambassadors. They do a lot for the jazz community here. And she's going to be, I think, on the show sometime next month. We're going to talk about Kansas City scene and nonprofits and what Kansas City Jazz Ambassadors are doing for the community. Oh, yeah, Bobby, sorry that Kevin Mahogany couldn't be there.
Yeah.
Man, that's so sad, man.
Very sad.
Yeah, and I didn't, when I first heard Kevin, I didn't know he was from here. I heard him on, what was that movie, Midnight Garden, Good and Evil, that Clint Eastwood movie, where he sang Laura, and I was like, man, who is this?
Yeah.
And then so I started researching. Yeah.
You hear that voice in your
Yeah.
Whoa.
Bobby says, got to go to class, keep the banner high. Hey, Bobby, man, thanks for stopping in, man.
Yeah.
And everything you do for the jazz scene in UMKC. Thanks for bringing me on there to do some adjunct stuff, too. I really appreciate the look on that.
Well, right. Hey, Bobby, what kind of classes are you taking?
Hey, what's up, Moxie Malloy? Thank you for tuning in. Peggy Chislin, thank you for tuning in. Peggy's a jazz singer.
Yeah.
Good to see you all here. She's got a young son, Asa, who plays the living snot out of the trombone, and he's like in ninth grade. So watch out for him. Got to work with him at my future jazz summer camp.
Yep.
It's cool. So I think we should listen to another tune. Oh, improv. He's gotta get teaching
improv class.
Oh, don't drift from the mic. Yeah, sorry, man. I'm just I'll stay on it. Yeah, so we're gonna get into another song from your record, which this solo.
Yeah.
So speaking of standards, he plays very standard Moment's Notice, which how it got its name, at least I heard from Curtis Fuller. I don't know how true this is, but like Train passed out the music on the session, and Curtis Fuller was like, you want me to solo on this in A Moment's Notice? And that's how it
was,
you know, because changes move around.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, so it's the same band, same track. So the Logan solos on it, you solo, and Peter,
everybody.
And when I first heard this, I was in my car, and when I heard Logan solo, I literally like pulled over and made like a Facebook video. I was like, man, this solo is so incredible. Like, you guys will hear it. Anyways, this is a Moment's Notice. Herman Lahari Blue. Maybe. was Moment's Notice from Herman Bahari. So, Herman, tell us a little bit about why you chose to do that on your record.
Very simply, with my record, it was about balance, you know, in terms of the songs. And we wanted an up-tempo swinger.
Okay.
Kind of like a tour de force type thing, just to balance out the record, you know. We have a lot of, and Peter and I actually discussed it together, and we said, well, we play Moments Notice a lot, and we haven't seen a lot of people record that song necessarily, so it just seemed like a natural pick. Once it was suggested, it was like, yeah, that's what we're doing for sure. And after we recorded it, we're like, yeah, that's a good idea.
I remember actually hearing that when you brought it in from when you were doing Future Jazz Camp.
Yeah.
Like, that was the first time I heard it, but, like, actually hearing the record and it being mixed and everything was cool, so... So we've got one more video question, and then I have another question for you, actually. So we're going to get into Sam Wiseman, who his show is coming up in 13 minutes on KKFI.org, and it's Jazz in the Afternoon with Sam Wiseman. But here's his question for Herman.
Hey, this is Sam Wiseman with a video question for the Ask a Jazz Dude show. Marcus and Herman, hey, what's up? So my question is for Herman primarily, but both of you can answer. Herman, you're someone who was in Kansas City sort of incubating, working on your music for a while, and then started traveling and decided eventually to move somewhere else. I wonder if you could answer how you knew when it was time to move somewhere else, and do you think that's beneficial for every musician or most musicians, and why?
Right.
Yeah. Basically, the first thing I have to say is it ultimately depends on what you want to do with your musical career. You know, if you're someone who's just happy playing club and restaurant gigs around the city, then of course, why would you move anywhere else? If you're in KC, don't leave, because it's not going to be any better than what's happening here in terms of to play on a regular basis, on a nightly basis,
yeah.
and just play gigs like that. Don't do that. Nah, but if you want to play, like, if you want to tour and play festivals and play concert halls and that kind of stuff, then you kind of have to go to a place that is a little bit more connected, you know? There's a difference between playing one place and touring, you know? And when you're touring, your income has to come from playing a lot of places as opposed to just one place. And what's great about a place like Paris is it's in Europe, and it's really easy to get around Europe. There's a lot of infrastructure there. There's a lot of venues and festivals that you know, that will pay your way, that pay you for your inter-Europe flights and trains and give you hotels and to pay you pretty good money. But if you're also, like, self-funding a tour over there, it's so much easier, too. It's, like, it's cheaper to go from Paris to Rome than it is to go from, you know, Kansas City to New York. So,
yeah.
It's just the truth. And it takes us... same or if not less amount of time to go from KC to Paris to Rome, rather, or Paris to Milan, or Rome to Madrid, or whatever. It's like, so the possibilities out there are a little bit different in terms of when to know. It's like me, I reached a kind of a ceiling here, you know. I was happy with what I was doing here, but I needed to expand and pursue that, because I had been traveling and touring a bit before, but a lot of things are kind of on the cuff for me. And making that leap over there really kind of solidified some of the things I had been building for a while, so it just made more sense for me. So it's all personal, at the end of the day, what you want to do with it, and it was a logical decision. I still come back to KC all the time. I still have
yeah.
a foot here in the scene, and I intend to do that, and it's very intentional. So.
Yeah, that's great. So my question is for you, if you were like a young musician coming up, what would be some practical advice, you know, like, you know, besides like, all right, well, shed these 251s and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's obvious, but like,
yeah.
maybe something insightful or some tips or some practical advice that can help someone that's trying to make a career in jazz.
Okay. I think... if it's gonna, like, because it could be a long answer. Like, you know, you did say, like, beyond, like, shed 251s, da 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 da. you know, the number one, first and foremost, is yes, the product. You know, if we're going to, because this is obviously a business question, right?
Mm-hmm.
If we're going to talk about the product, and the most important part of the product is you. The product is your music, what you have to offer. So number one, take care of the music. You know,
mm-hmm.
Bobby was here, and he said, if you take care of the music will take care of you. And it's true. You know, if you really have something strong and musical to offer, then there's that's what you have to have first before you, you know. Like, it doesn't mean you have to be the best this or the best that. It just means that you have something interesting that or unique that people want, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So hone your craft, do your thing the best you do it, whatever that is.
Right.
Do that. So then number two is to continue thinking about it from a business perspective. This is all dependent on what you want to do with your career, you know. Businesses make investments. You know, businesses reach ceilings and have to expand in certain ways.
Right.
Businesses, you know what I mean? Like, for instance, if I was doing my original music in Kansas City, I couldn't do that 5 nights a week. I couldn't really even do that, you know, 4 times a month, realistically, in terms of, like, putting on shows and, like, having a door and that kind of stuff.
Right.
It's different if you're
right.
playing like a jazz club and they're paying you whatever. That's different. That's one thing, but that's not really cultivating an audience. Really, it can be, eventually. You know what I'm saying? The point is that you want to expand and do your music in different places. You know, like so it's just thinking about this all this stuff from business perspective, promotion and everything. You know, one disconnect I see, and this happens both musically and from a business perspective, is where the artist is has no empathy and is not at all engaged or relatable to their audience.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that I'm like you're dumbing down your stuff to. I just mean, do you understand your audience?
Right.
You know, do you understand your audience when you're on stage? Do you understand your audience from a marketing perspective? Do you understand? You know what I mean? Like
right.
that. A lot of people I see have disconnects with that. You know, sometimes that stuff is innate because it's a personal thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's the stuff you can work on too, I think.
Yeah, and that's just by doing. You know, I think it's like, you know, anytime I play a show, I literally go out instead of on the set breaks, like hanging, smoking a cigarette or whatever. I don't smoke, but, you know, I literally go around and shake people's hands and thank them for coming.
Yeah.
You know?
That makes a big difference.
Makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, we're very privileged to be able to play music for a living, but at the same time, like, people have to come see us. Like, that's how we make money. So it's like, you have to make them also be a part. And it means the world to someone for you to shake their hand and say, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I really have, like, watched your career since I've been here, and you're very smart. Like, you're a fantastic player, and that's undeniable. And you're really good with business sense and, like, you know, how you promote yourself, and it's really been great to watch. So, any more questions? We got about 6 minutes.
A few comments, I see.
Yes, we got some comments rolling in. Let's look at these. What's up, Ryan Heinlein? Felt like I just ran 3 miles. I guess he was talking about from Mama's Nose. Oh, Chris Denner, what's up? Do you know Chris?
Yeah, I know Chris. Man.
So Chris and I went to undergrad together.
Wow.
In Valdosta State.
Crazy.
Yeah, Chris is a great
What's up, Chris?
Player. So
yeah.
He was just up here for Fountain City Brass
okay.
rehearsals. Clint says, I think that's a tough thing to do. Yeah, to remember to do. Like...
You mean specifically the saying hi to people and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a fine line. At some point, you want it to be kind of natural. I know for me, I can get mentally exhausted doing it, that kind of thing sometimes, you know, because it's like, yeah, I just want to go and play.
Right. Are you introvert? You can see yourself introverted or extrovert or kind of in the middle?
I could be in the middle. It just depends, you know. Like,
yeah.
It just depends on my mood, you know. Sometimes I'm like, yeah, let's go out. Let's talk. Da-da. Sometimes I just like, I'm very happy being at home, working on Ableton, you know.
Yeah.
But I think those classifications are, you know, a little bit should be ambiguous, whatever. But besides that, one of my point is really that that it's the I. the idea of this empathic relationship with the audience on and off the bandstand, that should be there. You know, you don't have to 100% be like embracing that, but I'm just saying there's so many people who just have completely have that disconnect.
Yeah.
And you can't really do that now in this day and age. You know, we don't have like a infrastructure that just makes you like, here you are, here's a star, here's a successful career. You know, it's like you need these things now.
Dude, that's so true. I forget who I was having a conversation with, but it's like we live in a time now where you can literally like go on Instagram and like DM Steph Curry, like if you want.
Yeah.
Basketball. He might not respond to you. Yeah. But like, so like, yeah, the days of like Mystique and like all that, I think in certain rare cases, yeah, but it's kind of over. Like,
yeah,
you know, you have access to anyone now because of social media. It's kind of crazy.
Right.
Like, you know, some people see that as a bad thing, and it's like, you know, I think it's you're still interacting with people, it's just a different way, but it actually like makes things easier in a lot of ways.
Absolutely.
Like, I can remember, you know, when I had to like call people. Like, literally, like, call people to let them know about my games. This is for, like, texting, like, mm-hmm. before cell phones.
Sure.
You know, because I'm a little bit older than you. But,
yeah.
Man, it's just crazy. And now you can just, you know, post things on social media and it's out there.
Got to adapt. Constantly adapt. Yeah. And that's part of the game. That's why it's hard to teach it, too. Because it's like, you know, someone who's successful 5 years ago, well, the game is changing. And, you know, you can't, 5 years later, it's like, some of these principles don't apply. But then I think that principle of like that empathy and that understanding of the audience, that's always going to apply to some people, you know. So
definitely. That's
But yeah, like I said, number one, the product. Number one, the product. Yep. Take care of the music.
Yeah. You have to be like self-aware of, you know, I think you're very self-aware, which is good. That's why, you know, you talked about Bird and you were like, yeah, it's just if you listen to that and study that, it's very clear what you need to do. And it's like your thing is very clear too, you know what I mean? So I think that comes from you being self-aware, you know.
Trying to be.
Yeah.
Constantly learning about myself, you know. Yeah. What I mean, like,
and that changes too, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Yeah, guys, so thank you all for tuning in to this Facebook Live episode 5. They haven't shut us down yet. Here on Facebook Live on Ask the Jazz Dude Show. Just take a second after this feed goes away to go to the Ask a Jazz Dude page and like it so you can get notified when we go live. Also, go to KKFI's page and like them. And for all of you listening from KKFI page or from here, Sam Wiseman's show is coming up at 1 p.m. in 1 minute. And it's Jazz Afternoon with Sam Wiseman. And you can go to KKFI.org to check that out if you're listening on the internet. All right, thanks, guys. We'll see what?
Plug something real quick.
Oh, yeah, plug something. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. This is an opportunity. This is business. Sunday is going to – I have a group called The Buzz here I play with, and we do a Mardi Gras party every year. I think – have you been to
–
you went to last year's,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And it's a pretty big event. We usually have a few hundred people come out. So this Sunday it's going to be in the West Bottoms at a place called the Mulberry Room. You check out The Buzz Facebook page or my personal page. The Buzz is BUHS, and the theme is DIY superhero. So we're gonna have a raffle for a ticket to Paris. So why would you not come to that? Howard Hanna's gonna be making gumbo. Andrew Olson, amazing bartender, is gonna be making cocktails. We're gonna have 3 kegs of Boulevard. So Electric Tinks is gonna play.
Woo!
There's no reason not to come, right?
There's Herman's website.
Sunday.
Check it out if you want to find him. And I totally forgot to do this because we're going to, like, give away stuff every show. So this is a copy. You should all have it. Like, Herman's blue. You should all have it anyways. But if you don't, you can gift it to someone.
Yeah.
So what I want you guys to do is if you're still watching, let's switch cameras here. Let's see if we can focus on. All right. So I'm going to give you 10 seconds. Let's see if I can get it away from my face. Yep, to screenshot this. Screenshot this and go post it on Instagram. Let's do Instagram.
Okay.
With the hashtag KC Trumpeter or hashtag
ask
Ask a Jazz Dude. Ask a Jazz Dude. And I'm going to go look at these later today, and I'm going to pick one person, and I'll send them a copy of Herman's CD. Alright?
What a deal.
Yep, what a deal. So, 5 more seconds to screenshot this. Alright, thanks guys for tuning in. We'll see you next week. Next week, our guest may be Brandon Draper or Tony Tixier. We'll see. But tune in next week for Ask a Jazz Dude. Alright, thank you guys. Squad.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.